We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
DGDG.com studios on the corner of Broadway and Battery. This is the Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game. Now, Damon Bruce.
We are 26 hours away from an NFL draft. That is an exciting place to be. Tomorrow we are going to be at Schroeder's. Really looking forward to tomorrow's show. I'd like to thank the Golden State Warriors for cooperating. Eliminating the San Antonio Spurs. Game six, not necessary. That's good, because tomorrow's draft coverage, as far as I'm concerned, that is necessary. Welcome, welcome. It's great to have you here. Gianna, good to see you again.
Hi, Damon.
We get to go to Schroeder's and have a good time tomorrow.
I know. I can't wait. I'm excited for the draft.
Are you going to be there drinking with us?
I'm working, too.
You're working, too?
We do a little digital, a little social media happening. But yes, I'll be hanging out, quote, unquote.
Nice. I like that. Air quotes, hanging out. I like their pretzels.
I love their pretzels.
I mean, forget about the draft picks. I like those pretzels that they got. The pretzels and the spicy mustard. If you're hanging out downtown San Francisco tomorrow and you're interested in the NFL draft, come on out to Schroeder's. We will be there. Joe Fortenbaugh, Gregory Papa is going to be joining us. It's going to be a lot of fun. There's an awful lot on the text line about Suge Knight. What was going on last show?
I don't know. Well, it's always interesting.
What was going on with a caboose pistol? What in God's name? I am getting texts about what a loser Suge Knight was, about how Tupac had it coming. Houston.
Suge Knight murder trial date is set.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good to know. 888-957-9570. Warriors game set match. You know, give it to the Spurs. They went out on their shield. They really did. It's one of those weird series where the losing team almost earns more respect in defeat than the winning team earns glory in victory. Like, it was just a day at the office for the Warriors. They had to just survive in advance. There is no celebration to be had. This is just taking care of business to get to where you need to go. So it was good to see the Warriors finally handle their business, get that out of the way. The tests officially get harder from here. And the Warriors, look, they understand all of this. I think if you're the Golden State Warriors for the very first time, maybe this entire season, you're starting to feel really good about the situation you're in. You are over your first playoff hurdle. You got over that hurdle without Steph Curry. It didn't cost you too many extra games, just one. No one got hurt in that extra game. I'll tell you, Warriors came out. They weren't executing great, but the energy was right last night. It's good that they maintained the energy through the end of that game, because when it was over and done with, that thing got closer than it needed to be. All respect to Manu and Tony Parker, Spurs, class, legacy, whatever. It was in effect last night. I love the fact that Steve Kerr chased down Tony Parker and Manu Ginobili, even went into the tunnel to find Tony Parker. I thought that was fantastic. There's so much respect between these two organizations. It's really rare to see like a team-wide level of respect between two organizations. It still remains amazing that Kawhi Leonard was no part of this whatsoever. Didn't resurface to support his team after we saw what happened with Greg Popovich's family issue. That game got close at the end.
It did.
It got close at the end. Kevin Durant needed to hit shots like this late to put it on ice.
Draymond, quick hit handoff for Durant. Can't make the play. Throws it back to KD. Top of the key jumper up and good! Kevin Durant hits the jumper with 36.1 to go! 95-91 Warriors.
95-91, I'll spare you doing the math. That's a four-point game. They had a 16-point lead late in that game. They saw it evaporate. Luckily, they played a little defense in the waning seconds.
Ginobili off a screen, middle of the floor. Bounce pass inside for Aldridge. It goes out of bounds. It's out of bounds. A turnover with 27.4 to go.
You know, it's funny. I think the Golden State Warriors are almost indebted to the San Antonio Spurs because the Spurs got their attention. The Spurs officially were the first team to sort of spit in their eye just a little bit this year in the playoffs, and they served their purpose. They were the right wake-up call, an easy enough opponent for the Warriors to beat without any anxiety, but good enough to respect the fact that you got to come out and play really hard to get it done. And if you're unfocused, they'll come up and they'll bite you. It was good that the Warriors went through that. And what do you know? Steve Kerr agrees.
You know, our team struggled coming into the playoffs, so the Spurs helped us kind of get our game back in terms of forcing us to defend and pay attention to detail. Their guys just fought like crazy and made us earn everything we got.
You know, we took Tuesday trifecta calls last night on what Klay Thompson would have, how many points he would score. He ended up having himself a fine game. And even with the blip in San Antonio, the loss where he played poorly, Klay really did have a good opening series here in the 2018 NBA playoffs.
Klay was just amazing tonight. And he was great all series. I know he had a tough shooting night in game four, but just an incredible series. His movement off the ball, his energy defensively, what he does for us all year is what he did for us in this series. You know, guard the opposing team. Scoring threat on the perimeter and move off the ball and keep our offense going with his movement and his screening and his shooting. So I thought Klay was just fantastic all series.
So it's good to see the Warriors pass it, but not without a little petty wars coming into play. I tell you, you're all a bunch of sensitive, rabbit-eared, really, really soft, underbellied fans sometimes. I was told on Twitter that Chris Webber is ripping Draymond Green to the point where I had to go and try to find the mark in the game so I could hear it myself. Chris Webber just said that Draymond Green wouldn't start on any team other than the Golden State Warriors. Is that what you're telling me? He just said? Twitter is telling me Chris Webber just said Draymond Green is only good enough to be a starter in the NBA if he's on a team as good enough as the Warriors. Wow, no, really? He said that? Chris Webber said that? Well, let's listen. Here's what Chris Webber said on TNT about Draymond Green last night.
This is the impact Draymond Green has. Yes, if he was on other teams and expected to score, he may not be in the starting lineup on some teams. But on this team, he's one of their most valuable players because he keeps the system going.
That didn't sound like he was trying to put a cigarette out in the middle of the guy's forehead to me. Don't make me defend Chris Webber. I'm not a huge Chris Webber as a broadcaster fan, but Chris Webber didn't say anything there that I was like, oh, he's just slighting Draymond Green. If anything, I think he was trying to give him a compliment. Number one, don't worry about Chris Webber. Like, Chris Webber is just get through Chris Webber. Chris Webber is a burden that we all carry through an NBA playoff game. We have to carry Chris Webber through a broadcast just like Marv Albert does. So, don't worry about what he says one way or the other. It's amazing that he's there to begin with. The fact that Chris Webber's innocuous, hardly incendiary comments got the world ablaze kind of makes me root for the world to burn down sometimes.
I hear ya.
Like, you're soft as hell if you think that's, oh, Chris Webber disrespecting Draymond Green. Let me tell you right now, here's what Chris Webber was trying to say, and here's the truth. Any team in the NBA that relies on Draymond Green to be their primary scorer ain't going to the playoffs. There you go. That's the truth. If Draymond Green is your number one offensive option, if he's your number two offensive option, you are in trouble. As a defender, he is one of the knights of the round table. He's legit. Love him. Offensively, a limited player whose defensive prowess does make him an elite player in the NBA. But he's not an elite NBA player due to his offensive game.
No, he doesn't have big scoring numbers.
What Chris Webber said right there is no reason to use a hashtag hot fire emoji to burn down social media. Relax just a little. please. And I'll tell you, when it was all said and done, leave it to Draymond Green to just sprinkle a little class on the proceedings and bring this back to something that we should all still be thinking about.
You know, when I look at life, you know, no, seriously, this is dead serious. When I look at life, you know, when somebody passes away, we tend to think we're there for one day or 2 days, and then we float away and think like their problem go away. So I just want to send my love to Pop and his family again. You know, it was kind of a thing the first day it happened, and then it's like gone. That problem don't leave for him, so much love, Pop. And I send my prayers and best wishes to him and his family.
Indeed, it feels like the conversation had moved on from a traumatic life moment. And even though the Warriors move on from the series and the media moves on from one team to another, and the team's focus now moves on from one city to another, doesn't move on that fast for Greg Popovich. And certainly hearts still with him and concern is still with him. Hey, what if I told you that the single hottest athlete in the Bay Area wasn't involved in the NBA playoffs or the Stanley Cup playoffs?
That's fine.
What if I told you the hottest athlete, according to any sort of heat map, any sort of hot fire emoji chart you want to consider right now, is Jed Lowry? It's the truth. Jed Lowry is the single hottest athlete in the Bay Area right now. We'll have more on that in just a little bit. What did we learn about the Warriors in this series? What do we know about their prospects going forward against the Pelicans? We will get into that with Mark Spears coming up at 3:30. We're talking NFL draft with Sean Salisbury coming up at 4 o'clock. And we're going to get you out to A's baseball around 4:30 this afternoon. The A's are looking to win 9 out of 10. They are red hot, powered by Jed Lowry. When is Jed Lowry bobblehead night? I need a dancing Jed Lowry. We got a dancing Donskoy. Give me a dancing Jed Lowry. Give me Jed Lowry swag for all the kids in the Bay Area. He should be the number one athlete, maybe in Bay Area history when it's all said and done. Jed Lowry. I'm not kidding. Write it down. Write this name down. Jed Lowry.
Now, back to the Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game.
Catch and shoot situation here. Klay Thompson has led the league in that category the last couple of years. He'll catch it. Nope. Ball deflected. Catches. Turns. Fires. It's up. It's good. At the buzzer. Klay Thompson ends the first half with a bucket and arms upraised. Doesn't stop. Just heads to the tunnel.
24 points on 11 of 22 shooting last night. Klay Thompson, big at the buzzer right there. Big when you needed him to be. He looked like Klay again, and that's what I love about Klay Thompson. He can actually lay a stinker like he did in game four. It affects him none. Like a sociopath. Like, what do they tell you in Silence of the Lambs? Like, the nurse leaned over and Hannibal Lecter bit her face off. He was hooked up to an EKG machine. His heart level never went above 80.
Scary.
Yeah, like Klay Thompson can eat an innocent nurse's face and his heart level never jumps above 80. Like, he just is the same guy every single scenario, every single night, every single game. And it's amazing to see the consistency that he plays with. If he keeps that up, the Warriors are in really good shape going forward. There is no doubt about that. Draymond Green, yeah, if he were one of your primary scorers, and he has to step up that primary scorer domino line with a guy like Steph Curry out. But when you ask Draymond to just play defense, he's unbelievable. When Draymond has that just slap in the floor, I'm a little angry out here, I'm taking things personally defensively, when he has that about him, that's a force in nature. That's a force in nature that other teams have an awful lot of trouble dealing with. I would imagine that we're going to see Draymond Green playing Anthony Davis straight up quite a bit in this upcoming series. Even though Durant's the other 7-footer on the floor, it'll be up to Draymond Green to slow down Anthony Davis. Here's Klay Thompson talking about Draymond Green.
Well, Draymond can literally do everything. So these last two games have been rebounding like a beast, and his ability to take the ball from the rim and push the break is what sparks our offense so much. So we expect him to continue to play with this edge, because when he does, and he's played with great emotion and passion, that's when he's at his best.
Hey, Klay, Are you going to let that bad performance from Game 4 affect you in Game 5?
No, no.
Are you going to let it carry over?
No, no.
Are you going to worry about it 5 minutes after it's over?
No, no.
Oh, good. That's why we love you, man. You just move right on. Move right on. Clay's talking about the team that they got coming up next, the Pelicans.
Me and Alvin has got those guys playing at an amazing pace, very up-tempo. Drew Holiday is looking like, you know, all-NBA type of point guard with his ability to defend and run the team. And then I've seen Anthony Davis. I've seen plenty of highlights what he's doing this postseason, and it's amazing. So that's going to be a huge challenge for us. And just got to take it one game at a time, as cliche as that is, because you can't look ahead to, you know, West Finals or Finals. We got to beat the Pelicans, and they're playing really well right now.
Draymond knows the Pelicans are coming. He knows that matchup with Anthony Davis is coming.
You know, great player. But just like any other great player, you want to make him take tough shots. Live with the results.
There you go. Just make him work. Force a guy like that to work. Steve Kerr, he knows how Alvin Gentry's guys are going to go about working because, of course, he used to work with Alvin Gentry.
Well, fortunately, Alvin Gentry doesn't really know what he's doing. So That's a joke. Really happy for Alvin. It was fun watching them play. It's not going to be as much fun playing against them because they present a lot of problems. But Alvin's done an amazing job with the group. They've come together. They're playing at a really high level. And obviously, it's a very different team from the Spurs. They present a lot of different issues. So we'll give the players tomorrow off, and the coaches will get in the war room and get to work.
All right. So day off. Get your whirlpool in. Relax. Enjoy. Go have lunch. It's a nice day outside. Yep. Enjoy. Decompress. And then get ready to grab that lunch pail and go to work. For those of you who are asking, On the PenskeAutoSales.com text line, when indeed is game one? Game one is indeed Saturday night Oracle 7:30 tip-off time. Warriors-Pelicans Saturday night Oracle Arena 7:30 tip time. In other next round Bay Area playoff game one news, Gianna.
That's right.
You ready for it?
Sharks, Golden Knights, tomorrow, 7 o'clock. Now, I'm not impressed that the NHL is going to try and go up against the NFL draft. I think I might have taken a night dark in my playoffs just to make sure the attention stayed on me somehow, some way. But if you think about it, if you're a Sharks fan and you're either a 49er fan or a Raider fan, chances are your picks will be over 5 minutes into the first period, 10 minutes into the first period. Like, you'll be able to go right from draft to...
That's fine.
That transition should be okay.
That's what we should call tomorrow's show. Draft to Donskoy.
That's fine.
So, really, I think it's going to work out okay anyways. And believe me, it's going to work out okay for us over at Schroeder's. Multiple TVs.
Yeah, we're covered.
Lots of fun. Sports all around us tonight. Sports all around us. Tonight's a great night. Four NBA playoff games tonight. The Jazz are looking to eliminate the Thunder in Oklahoma City. By the way, Thunder tonight should be playing for their lives. That could be a really good game. As scrappy as that one got, and we got Mark Spears coming up in about 4 minutes from now. Watch tempers flare tonight in Oklahoma City. The Rockets are returning home to try to close out the Minnesota Timberwolves. And we've got two other series, each of them tied at two. Pacers at the Cavaliers, and all the playoff action gets going earlier in about half an hour from right now. Wizards at Raptors. By the way, let me just say, the Pacers really blew it. When they did not close out the Cavaliers in Game 4, this could have been 3-1 Indiana going back to Cleveland. Instead, it's 2-2. This could have been a night to eliminate LeBron in the first round, and it won't be. Pacers coughed away with bad offensive possessions, a game they should have won at home. And by losing that game at home, they will eventually go on to lose this series. Watch. There are moments where you either, like, this is your chance to slay the dragon, or you don't. And I'm afraid that that moment might have passed. By the way, I'm afraid that Jed Lowry's about to be traded.
God, isn't that what happens when every time there's a good ace?
Seriously, I hope I'm wrong about this. I really, really do. But this guy is on fire.
And a breaking ball, stroke toward left center field. The Shields on the run. Back in the alley. Reaches out. He can't get it. It's by him. It's on the track and in play. Simeon is home. Joyce is stopped at third base. As the throw comes into the plate from Profar, it's an RBI double for Jed Lowrie. He rises to the occasion yet again, and the A's are back in front 2-1.
Yeah, that would go on to help the A's win by a run. And what do you know? This is officially a winning streak. Lowrie is in the middle of everything the A's are doing right now. He's hitting .363. Gianna with 6 home runs and 24 RBIs. Can we get Jed Lowrie bobblehead night?
Yeah, I think we should.
Dave Cavill, get your Jed Lowrie hype machine up and working. I mean, come on. This guy is on fire right now. Do you realize that Jed Lowrie, 6 home runs and 24 RBIs, this guy's been playing for 10 years. He only has 87 career home runs. Jed Lowrie has hit 5.2% of his career home runs already this season. He had the big two-run double last night in Oakland's win. The A's have now officially won 8 out of 9. They catch the slumping Rangers at the right time, and hopefully rain, stay away, come again some other day. Everything is okay right now in Arlington. I just looked at Bouton Vixen, who is rubbing the voodoo Vixen. She is rubbing the voodoo doll.
It looks very like we
light
got
rain right now, and then it's going to be clear.
Nice.
So we should have no issues at
nice
all.
This weather update brought to you by Smoky Voices. Smoky Voices popping up on your radio. Very nice. That game is going to be coming up a little bit later on. We're about an hour away from A's baseball this afternoon on 95.7 The Game. See how much they can keep it on going. Jed Lowrie, hottest athlete in the Bay Area. Write it down. It's the truth. It's the honest to God's truth. We got a draft. 49ers, you know, here's the funny thing. 49ers have already won the draft no matter what they do. I will explain. You understand that John Lynch has already turned the 43rd pick of this draft into an undefeated franchise quarterback, don't you? It's the truth. That's not hype. That's not like, oh, why don't you stop kissing the rear end nonsense of people who just don't want to hear this. But the truth is, the 43rd pick in this draft has already been turned into Jimmy Garoppolo.
Gucci gang, Gucci gang, Gucci gang, Gucci gang, Gucci gang, Gucci gang, Gucci gang.
So unless any team out there in this draft, which starts tomorrow, unless any team out there ends up picking a player which becomes the river through which all of your franchise's hopes and dreams flow, you didn't have a better draft than the San Francisco 49ers. You didn't. You didn't. Their first-round pick could be A.J. Jenkins, Part 2 Electric Boogaloo. Their first-round pick could turn into the biggest washed-out, that guy didn't work out no matter what. And their first two-round grade would still have to be an A based on the fact that trading the 43rd pick of this draft to New England left you with
Gucci gang, Gucci gang, Gucci gang, Gucci gang, Gucci gang, Gucci gang, Gucci gang.
It's amazing. 49ers have already won the draft. Write it down.
Well, they got Jimmy, so yes.
Not bad, right?
Not bad at all.
Haven't even made your pick. Already won the damn draft.
Gucci gang, Gucci gang, Gucci gang, Gucci gang, Gucci gang, Gucci gang, Gucci gang.
I'd say it's a good start.
Not bad. Not bad at all. Mark Spears, never bad at all, man. Senior writer for ESPN's The Undefeated. We got a lot of NBA playoffs going on tonight. A couple of series that could close out. Warriors, of course, closed out the Spurs last night. They'll have the Pelicans coming up next. I just saw Mark did a big profile on Pelican head coach, former Warrior assistant head coach, Alvin Gentry. And Mark's good enough to join us here on 95.7 The Game to talk all about it. How you doing, buddy?
Man, glad that one's over, right?
Yeah, you know, though.
Let's move on to some real ball.
Yeah, but that was a good opener. That was a great way to hop into the pool for the Warriors. It really was. That was a team that never really threatened them, but was good enough to have their full attention. Steve Kerr even said the Spurs sort of helped wake up a slumbering Warrior team.
No, I mean, definitely that. I mean, yeah, I never felt like the Spurs were going to threaten them. But you got to respect them. You got to respect the fact that they have their championships, that only the Patriots have won more than them over the last 20 years. But even no matter who's wearing that jersey, they're going to come to play. And so I definitely felt like that was the, you know, certainly the right potion to get those guys back to where they were and perhaps prepare them for this series.
What do you think? Do we see Curry in games one or two next series?
My guess is two. You know, the rumor I heard last night was hopeful for one. Hopeful doesn't sound great, but watching the video yesterday of him working out, looks like he's getting more and more confident. You know, the practices before, the time on the court before getting tested on Friday will certainly mean a lot. But 7 o'clock game, 7:30 game, you know what, I like the chances of that better than if it would have been a 12:30 start. So I'd say a 50-50 chance.
Mark Spears, senior writer for ESPN's The Undefeated. Like I said, you just did a profile on Alvin Gentry, who, Mark, he went from maybe on the brink of being dismissed at the end of this year to now an extension and an option being picked up. Alvin Gentry had quite a renaissance this season in New Orleans. He's a good guy. He's well-respected around this league. Tell me about the sit-down conversation you had with him.
Well, he could also, he's pretty funny. He could go to Cobb's and make some money if he wanted to.
Nice.
Over the weekend. But he's a guy that I actually think deserves more than just a one-year extension. That's not really impressive. Okay, we're going to give you another year. I mean, if you really like the job that he's done, I think Mrs. Benson should do more than that. But, he has taken a team that basically lost one of its major players for the season in Cousins and got them to redirect their energy in the right way, pushed Anthony Davis to be the superstar we expected him to be, and add a guy like Meritish and make him, you know, be able to fill that huge, huge void left by Cousins. Some may argue that they're playing better now, but I've never seen Jrue Holiday play this well. Rondo is back to being a Rondo we saw with the Celtics. They're a real threat. I mean, I don't pick them in the series, but this isn't any easy win, and because when you have a guy like Anthony Davis who's capable of controlling you on both sides of the court, it could be a problem for the Warriors.
I was surprised, Mark, to see Portland roll over like it did. Why?
Hello?
Yeah, Mark. You got me
yeah.
So? I was saying, I was really surprised to see Portland just roll over like it did. Why do you think it happened?
No bigs. Nobody to counter AD. I think Portland played above its head. You know, Damian Lillard is amazing, and so is C.J. McCollum, but if you push those two to the corner, what is the rest of the team going to do? I mean, the rest of the team is weak. And I actually think that the Warriors kind of have to have the same mentality that the Pelicans had against Portland, reverse it against the Pelicans. And you could tell me what you think is better. Should they allow Anthony to just go crazy and let the rest of the team beat him, or vice versa? You know, and I don't think Jrue Holiday plays like that again against Klay Thompson. And if Steph's back, you know, Rondo's going to have his hands full. I just don't think it's going to be as easy. The only guy I think is unstoppable for the Pelicans is Anthony Davis, but he can't score 130 points by himself. I think the Warriors have had success in the past by allowing Anthony to just go crazy and score 50, but shutting down the rest of the guys, and I won't be surprised if they go that route again.
Yeah, make Davis work for it, keep Mirotić honest, and if Jrue Holiday puts the Pelicans into the Western Conference Finals, like, so be it. Like, you know, like, I'm comfortable with that, I think.
I take my chances and give Rondo all the jump shots he wants.
All
the way they mess with Draymond and give Draymond all those jumpers, give him to Rondo, too, and he made a lot of big shots, but I'd certainly take my odds with that as well.
Not that we want to spend too much time on this. I want to get back to the Warriors. And this isn't being asked to diminish Boogie Cousins, but looking at style of play, are the Pelicans a better team without him?
No. No, I don't think so. Because with him, those two guys, man, Damon was on the verge of writing a story before he got hurt about them perhaps being the scariest team to play in the playoffs, because they were just then clicking. Those two together, I mean, there's no two bigs in the league like that. You'd probably have to go back to the 80s to find something like that. And then, you know, if Drew plays well, they certainly had a three-headed monster that was scary. But now it's just so much put on Anthony. Before, you couldn't double Anthony. You couldn't triple Anthony because Cousins is probably better offensively than him, more skilled than him. But without Cousins, as I said, we're putting the Warriors are putting all their emphasis on stopping one guy or letting one guy go crazy. If Cousins was there, the Warriors couldn't do that.
Four NBA playoff series tonight. Two of them could be closeout series. Jazz looking to eliminate the Thunder in OKC.
That, right?
And I'll tell you, that game, that officially got a little nasty and chippy in Utah. That could carry over tonight. That's a little bit of must-watch TV. Rockets obviously can close out the Minnesota Timberwolves in their own barn. Pacers and Cavs, Wizards and Raptors, they're tied at two. I think Indiana already blew this series, man. They had Cavs 3-1 on the hook.
You can't give LeBron chances. You got to cut his head off when he has a chance. Now they're going to go back home, probably get the next one and close it out. So I expect that to be done. The intriguing series to me, man, Donovan Mitchell and the Jazz.
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, have you ever – I've seen Russell Westbrook get emotional, but I've never seen him implode like that. Implode because of Ricky Rubio? That he was so worried about Ricky Rubio that it just messed up the rest of the defensive game plan of the entire team and just messed up his foul trouble. I mean, that might have been the worst game I've ever seen him play. And he certainly picked it at a bad time.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. By the way, Carmelo Anthony seems to stack worst game I've ever seen him play on top of worst game I've ever seen him play.
I just think it's a bad fit for him. And there needs to be a day. And look, I covered Melo when he first got into the league with Denver, where he got going to post. You know how good he is in the post?
Yeah, and I've always said Carmelo Anthony is one of those guys. You don't appreciate how good he is until you see him in person and you see how big and smooth he is. And that's what I used to say about Nugget Carmelo Anthony. I said it a little about Knicks Carmelo Anthony. I haven't said it once about Thunder Carmelo Anthony.
Yeah. I mean, they have nobody really that could score in a post. I'm kind of surprised that Billy Donovan hasn't pushed him to do that. You know, fine, start. That's fine. But give me some buckets in the post. Hook shot. He's so quick. You know, spin, go around the other side, lay it in, turn and face, shoot over the guy. And he's also very powerful. I saw him once, you know, go chest to chest for a layup with Alonzo Mourning, and Alonzo Mourning fell on the ground. There needs to be more of that Melo going to the basket. I've always felt like that was the biggest knock on him, is he's too in love with his jump shot, even though, you know, early in his career that he had a nice one. But I think he needs to become more of a power forward. He can go back to finding the success that he and the Thunder need. But it's probably too late now.
Playoff fun everywhere you look, man. Thanks for helping us sort it out. You know, one more thing came across the wire while we've been talking, and that's the recommendation of the Commission on College Basketball suggesting that one-and-done be eliminated. It looks like that's something that Adam Silver likes, and it looks like one-and-done in the NBA or in college could be no more, which would mean an awful lot of players to develop for the G League.
Yeah, but I think these kids really need to realize how tough it is to make it to the NBA. Did you see that 265 underclassmen put their name in a draft?
Yeah.
Do they realize that there's 60 spots, that about a third of those goes to international players? And we're not even including the seniors that are going to go in. I mean, like, it's just ridiculous. If you're not a top, keep your butt in school, get better in your game, and then figure it out. But these guys just have such grandiose dreams. Like, if you're picked somewhere between 45 and 60, I believe you have less than 15% chance to play one game in the NBA. So
Wow. Do
it. Why? I heard somebody tell me, well, I believe in myself, like guy that put his name in. Okay. That doesn't mean you're going to make it.
Right.
Like, go back, work on your weakness, and then get higher than a possible second-round pick.
It's good advice from Uncle Mark, kiddies. Pay attention. Keep your butts in school. Thank you very much, Mark. Always great to talk to you, man. Enjoy the hoops tonight.
All right, Dan.
See you on Saturday, buddy. Mark Spears, senior writer for ESPN's The Undefeated. Always good stuff. When we come on back, we got plenty more to look at around Major League Baseball and the NFL draft before we really sink our teeth into what's going to happen in the top 10 picks with Sean Salisbury. He winged it around for a little while in this league and knows a thing or two about quarterbacks, which are certainly going to determine what happens and how this draft shakes out. Sean Salisbury. Salisbury Steak. Coming up today, served at 4 o'clock on the Damon Bruce Show.
Now, back to the Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game.
Very, very good question here on the PenskeAutoSales.com text line from Psycho Mike. It says, Damon, will you be discussing the really big sports news that broke today? That Double Dare is back? When is the Mark Summers interview scheduled? That's a great question, Albie.
That can happen, right?
Albie is Mark Summers' nephew.
Yes.
Which is what led to us to do an NPR-worthy, two-hour-long profile interview on Mark Summers that is still one of the crowning achievements of this program. The two-hour retrospective biography interview that we did with Mark Summers, where we got a full story and oral history of Nickelodeon's Double Dare before we moved on to talk about all the stuff that he's done with Food Network, which fascinates me and Gianna. I love Mark Summers, and they are bringing Double Dare back. I immediately told Albie, please call Mark, find out when this is being taped. We don't have to be on the show, but we have to go down to a taping.
Please.
If this is going to happen in L.A., Albie, we got to do this.
And is he hosting?
We'll make it happen.
Do we know for sure that he's going to be the host again?
So I texted Uncle Mark this morning when I heard the news, and he basically sent me a text back, maybe with an exclamation point. So an excited maybe is kind of a yes, right?
Yes! That leans that direction.
So yes. I don't think technically he can say anything yet, but I think he's the host of Double Dare.
It's
round two.
Cool.
It's not a no.
It's not a no.
It's not a no. That's the only thing we're sure of. It sounds like there's hope there.
And I broke this news on the Caboose pistol earlier, which they called the Falloose pistol today.
Oh, very nice. Very nice.
Look at you, Albie.
Look at that. When I crash it, it's the Bruce pistol. You get to do the Falloose pistol.
I'm telling you, we got to start that Bruce and Falloose podcast. Get it going.
Sounds like extra work. It really does.
Yeah, probably.
That's awesome.
That is cool. That is cool. I'm excited for that. I can't wait till my son's old enough to actually be a contestant on the show.
I'm going to tell you right now, if the choice is we can be contestants on the show or Falcon and his friends can be a contestant on the show, I will take your son and his friends and I will drown them all in a shallow vat of vanilla pudding.
Gee, Uncle Damon.
I want to be on Double Dare so bad. I don't care what a physical challenge.
I do, too. I'm kind of with you on this one. I want to compete in a messy physical challenge.
I want to be the first 43-year-old man who's had a stroke to play. I want to be the first stroke survivor on Nickelodeon's Double Dare.
Hashtag goals.
Just wear a t-shirt. El Stroco Loco. Physical challenge, Mark. I can't really use my left side, but, you know, I'm going up both nostrils looking for that flag. You know exactly the physical challenge I'm talking about.
Yes, we do.
You know exactly what I'm talking about.
That's pretty cool. That'll be fun. I'm excited.
I loved Double Dare. I swear to God. Ask my wife about the pictures on our mantle. It's a whole bunch of We Got Married stuff. It's a whole bunch of having vacation in Hawaii, honeymoon stuff. Whole bunch of family stuff. Then a picture of me, Gianna, and Mark Summers hanging out at the old studio. I treasure my Mark Summers memories. PenskeAutoSales.com text line says, hey, Damon, I have an honest-to-God question. I'm not trying to be snarky. Can you explain to me, why do people care so much about the NFL draft? It's bleeping insane. You know what? I agree. Well, I love the draft because, to me, the intrigue in sports is how the sausage is made. It's not just the destination I'm interested in. It's the journey. Team building, roster construction, the choices general managers have to make in real time that will either cement their legacies or ruin their careers. Like, it's fascinating to me. It's fascinating. It's like being let inside the HR department of a Fortune 500 company to be like, you hired who to run your marketing department? You hired who to do your payroll? If it's Joan, you're in good shape. But I just think it's fascinating. The DNA, it's where you find out the real DNA of a franchise, how it's built. So I think that there is the appeal in that. There's also the culture that we now live in that allows you, through nothing but your own opinion, to become a loudmouth expert on something. People love to express opinions as fact.
Yes, they do.
You will hear me discuss an awful lot of draft tomorrow. I will present none of my findings as absolute write it down fact. I'll never be wrong about this. I've seen NFL teams be wrong about draft picks enough in my life to know that there are no guarantees. There is nothing less valuable than a draft just ended. Let's give you the first round grades. How can you give a grade to a draft pick until 3 years into their career?
Right.
How do you even know?
Need a little time. I do like the fact, too, it's like you're taking college players, and if you follow college football, you're following those players into the NFL. Their lives essentially change. So it's kind of cool. And then you see the career grows. Then you think back to when I remember when they were drafted and how that turned out. I think it's interesting.
It's the journey.
It is. It's the journey. It's a cool thing to watch.
You know, for some people watch sports, and I swear to God, the only thing they're interested in is game sevens and the Super Bowl.
Right.
Like, if it's not, we're going to decide a championship tonight, it's disposable. To me, the other things that teams go through are not these disposable, didn't matter, I didn't care to pay attention to it moments. Like, I find draft day, I find free agency, I find this stuff fascinating, but I realize I'm not like everyone else. But there are now enough people like me who are completely fascinated in all this to where they offer it up. I mean, this is no longer just a cult sport being played in the back of the bar. This thing is up front on the marquee on Broadway. And it's amazing to see how really this is a sport of opinion that everyone gets to play.
And it's on like 10 networks this year.
Yes, it is. If the draft used to be hard for you to find, it won't be anymore. It's going to be everywhere. The draft is going to be like, it's going to be like walking into a bakery and picking out where you want your morning bun. Like, it's just, oh, I can pick out from this shelf, this shelf, this shelf, that shelf. There's going to be so much draft. I'm already a little sick of it. I got to be honest with you. By the way, Sean Salisbury talking about the draft with me at 4 o'clock. It's going to be great. But you see, it's more interesting for me to hear a guy like that talk about the draft, a guy who played in the NFL, a guy who understands what these picks are going to be looking at as they begin their careers and what really makes sense in what places, what tendencies he likes. I think the fascinating thing here is that this draft will be told in two parts. There are two parts to this story. The first part is the New York part of it. Jets and Giants picking 2 and 3. They're bookended by the Cleveland Browns picking 1 and 4. What the Browns do, go quarterback, other position, what the Jets do, what I think the Buffalo Bills might do to trade up into the top 10, here are the teams I think that could trade up, get really aggressive for a quarterback on draft day. Are you ready? The Buffalo Bills, the Miami Dolphins, and this is going to come out of nowhere, San Diego Superchargers. Oh, sorry, they don't even play in San Diego anymore. I'm sorry, old habits die hard. Hey, Philip Rivers is not a young pup anymore.
No, he's not.
You got to have a succession plan, don't you? This is a quarterback-heavy draft with the Browns, the Giants, the Jets, all possibly looking quarterback. The Denver Broncos, they would stun me if they took quarterback. It's not totally out of the question. This draft is really going to play itself out for the 49ers and the Oakland Raiders in picks 6, 7, and 8. What are the Colts going to do? What's Tampa Bay going to do? What's Chicago going to do? Those are three teams that will not be looking at quarterback. Will any of those three teams trade out to have another quarterback taken in front of picks 9 and 10? If so, who is the player that remains? For every quarterback that goes ahead of picks 8, or excuse me, ahead of picks 9 and 10, for every quarterback that goes, there's an option still on the board for you. Who's going to be there at 9? And then obviously, who will be there at 10? It's fascinating. I'll tell you where it really gets messy to me is when you're trying to prognosticate who the 28th pick of the draft will be. 28 picks into the draft, it starts to feel a little bit like a crapshoot. Now we're really just flapping gums. But in the top 10, in a top 10 that is very established here, in all the mocks that you see, there is no real surprise name, I think, coming to crash the top 10 party. So basically, you eliminate all the quarterbacks, one middle linebacker, one offensive guard, one cornerback, and that still leaves you the rest of the draft universe for the 49ers and the Raiders to shop from. There's a lot of options there. And I would not be surprised, although it would be a little less than dramatic, if the 49ers were there at number 9 and looked to trade down. I wouldn't be surprised at all.
That's what's fun about it. The what, like, there's so many things that can happen, and everything kind of needs to fall into place for it to work out for your favorite team. It's the drama. I love it.
Same guy who asked me the question on the text line says, hey, thanks for the explanation. Seriously, I guess I understand it a little bit more now, but it's still insane.
It is insane.
It is. We are getting together in mass on multiple networks to watch a man none of us like read a list of names that very few people are familiar with.
True.
It's really an amazing study in sports in America. It is. It probably tells us a lot about ourselves we really didn't want to know.
Probably.
And just to be serious for just a moment, we've already recorded it. Tomorrow, along with it being NFL draft day, and it's a great day, I want you to be as excited as you can about the NFL draft. Tomorrow is the 1-year anniversary of El Stroco Loco in yours truly. I had a stroke at the age of 42 a year ago tomorrow. And the only thing I can tell you is that you probably spent more this week worried about physicals of players that you'll never meet than your own physical. Take a little time to take some personal inventory, monitor your blood pressure, monitor your sodium, monitor your cholesterol. All those things. Healthy people can have strokes.
Yes, they can.
High blood pressure can come in any body type. Totally ripped, shredded mountain climbers can have high blood pressure. This could happen to just about anybody. So, little awareness, little video that we're working on to put out tomorrow. Make sure everybody gets to live a long, happy, healthy life. That is the plan, of course. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ, FM, and HD1 San Francisco, the radio home for every single Warriors playoff game. Again, game one against the Pelicans is going to be 7:30 on Saturday night. Looking forward to getting to Oracle for that one. But right now, we got an NFL draft to talk about. Sean Salisbury, a gentleman who I had the pleasure of getting to know and work with a bit back in my days at ESPN. He knows the league. He used to play in this league. He certainly knows the position of quarterback, and the position of quarterback is going to dictate how this draft is looking at the top. And since both the 49ers and Raiders are picking at the top, it is time to talk to Sean Salisbury. He's good enough to join us here on 95.7 The Game. Sean, thank you as always. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing pumped. Tomorrow's draft, at least the first round, ought to be exciting, especially at the top. It's always good to join you and be a part of your show. I appreciate you, brother. Thank you.
Thank you. Let's talk about the quarterbacks in this draft. Is there one, as you've studied them, that has separated himself considerably from the pack, or is it a pretty tight pack of four guys who could all go in any order in the top four or five picks in this draft?
Well, I personally think the perception is that it could go in any order, and I think right now judging from what we hear, and whether it's smoke screen or smoke signals or just, you know, rhetoric, that everybody's got a different guy going the first pick to the Browns and to the Giants and to the Jets. It's crazy. You know, I've been unfortunate that I get to look at a little different and a little extra tape other than what we see on TV, and I've been studying hard again this week, all these quarterbacks and a few other positions, just to see if I missed anything. And all six of these guys that are considered possible first-rounders, five of them, it appears, for sure. I personally, and I know in California people think that's being an SC homer, and it isn't, Damon. I try to keep my credibility intact when it comes to that, and I've criticized, you know, USC players in the past. It comes down to what I've seen. You can take the jersey off them or where they went to school. Let's just break the position down. Darnold's the best quarterback in this draft, if you ask me, because while there's guys with better feet, meaning faster, guys that can probably do more outside the pocket with their feet, guys with stronger arm, guys that are bigger in Josh Allen. But when you take all the strengths and put them together, he doesn't have glaring weakness. Now, people are going to say, well, he turned it over a lot. I know, but I can go through Favre and Matt Ryan and Deshaun Watson. I can go through a lot of players who had one season where they turned the ball over a lot. But I can take that because there are certain things I can fix in that. You know, gripping the ball in the pocket, not trying to force balls, all those things, not trying to do too much and getting good teaching on Sunday. But where's the glaring weakness? Throws great on the run. He throws the tight windows that others don't throw to. His anticipation's as good as anybody. His release, and I know he's got that little hitch at the bottom of it, but the ball still comes out quickly. And I think that I was reading, I don't know the name of the company, but they did a scientific study on he and Derek Carr, and we know how quick Carr's release is. His is faster than Darnold is. He's got a plenty of arm. He's great throwing on the run to both his left and his right. So he's the best. Now, is he the best by tons? I don't think so. Baker Mayfield's second for me. I think Rosen is the most ready and the purest, but I still think there's flaws in his game. And you know this game, and Josh Allen looks the part. He's the guy when you walk into a room, say, in a pair of shorts and T-shirt, that's the guy. And you know at this point in time, when the season ends to now, we talk our way out of it more than we talk our way into a player. Yeah. You know, I can find a wart on any of them. I can find a weakness on every quarterback, all six in this draft, and I can find a hell of a lot of strengths in all of them too, but accuracy matters to me. And people, it's weird how, with this, just talking about the Darnold Allen comparison, I get people making excuses, well, Josh Allen, the players around him and what he did in the offense, will make the excuse for his inaccuracy or perceived inaccuracy with his completion percentage, yet we don't make the excuse that maybe Darnold got hit on a fumble or there was a tip ball interception or he forced something. We have selective when we come to it. Oh, then we have the issue, well, Baker Mayfield isn't as tall. Well, and he makes every play with his feet and his arm. He's number two on my list. I mean, it's selective. The bottom line, when you go back and watch and look for flaws and strengths, you can find them on a supermodel, you can find it in a Ferrari,
yeah,
and you can find it on a Pinto. So for me, it goes Darnold, Mayfield. It depends on what you like in the Rosen and Allen. I like Rosen third because I think he's pure and he looks good from the pocket. He just doesn't have good feet. And I think Allen's a project. Now, the ceiling's high, but so is the floor very low, meaning, you know, that's low as well. So then the other two fit in. Lamar's got some pocket stuff, and Mason Rudolph's got to get with the right teaching because he's been in that type of spread formation or spread offense as well. But to me, I think the Browns would be crazy not to take Darnold first. If you take Mayfield, I live with that because I think he's going to win, and he's the type of guy, once he gets a job, he's not giving it back, Damon. He just isn't. So I'll live with those two. But if you take Allen over either one of those guys, then it's a fail at the top for the Browns in this draft. Allen's not ready to play.
Sean Salisbury joining us here on 95.7 The Game, breaking down tomorrow's draft, and it's amazing how much of this draft really gets controlled by the city and state of New York, with the Giants and Jets picking back-to-back, with the fact that the Bills, I think, could definitely trade into the top 10 looking quarterback. Miami, which, let's face it, is a very southern outpost of New York City, could get involved in this draft as
That's
well, trading into the top 10, Sean. New York is going to dictate how this goes. Do you think one of those teams, a team in the top five, will be the first to break the quarterbacking trend for a guy like Saquon Barkley or the corner from Ohio State or possibly the guard from Notre Dame, Quentin Nelson? Who will be the first wild card offered to us in the top 10? Do you think we get something nuts?
I think there's only two possibilities. Now, Quentin Nelson, the guard, I was watching film on him last week. from a bunch of different angles. I'm going to tell you something, just to get off the quarterback thing for a second. He's the best guard I've seen in a decade. This dude is, you know, I don't, there's two things I usually don't subscribe to. Drafting a running back in the first round, I mean, in the first five picks, and drafting a guard in the first five picks, unless, of course, they're dominant. And if they're franchise changers. I think Quentin Nelson's the safest pick in this draft. I do. 10 years from now, I think you and I are going to be talking. We're going to be talking about he's been to 7 Pro Bowls. I think he's that good. He mauls you. He can run. He locks on. He can get to the second level. There's nothing the guy can't do, and he's nasty, which I love. Saquon Barkley's probably the best player in the draft when you look at everything he does, and he's productive. But I can't pass on a franchise quarterback. Now, that being said, to me, I'd go quarterback disruptor, pass rusher would be my second one. So I think there's really only two guys outside of the top 10, 5 or 10, maybe top 7 or 6, that are going to disrupt the quarterback, especially out of the top 5, because I still think that Denver could take a Josh Allen if he's there at 5. Browns are going to take a quarterback. If that quarterback's not Darnold, Darnold's going to go second to the Giants. So that was still it. The Jets are going to take either Rosen or Mayfield 3rd, I would imagine. Then at 4th, that'll be the first one, and it'll come down to Bradley Chubb and Saquon Barkley, depending on what the Browns want. And then you get to number 5, and then it goes back to, do you want Josh Allen? Did you want the other, or Josh Rosen? And then it starts to creep down and figure out which one's going to fall farther. But to me, Darnold Mayfield for sure in the first 3, and it'll be Darnold Mayfield and another quarterback in the first 3, if, in fact, Darnold isn't the first choice. He'll be the second choice. But I think the Giants at number 2, if it's not Darnold, it'll be Barkley or Chubb, one of those two difference makers.
Sean, let's talk about linebackers in this draft. The 49ers might be looking linebacker at 9, especially with all the problems they had with last year's first-round linebacking pick. Obviously, Reuben Foster is a big question mark in his future here. So when it comes to an oversized 19 years old and Tremaine Edmonds, this guy who can play, 4 of the 5 different upfront positions, basically, a versatile guy like that who is a physical freak of nature? Or would you rather have somebody who comes out of college with a national championship and all sorts of accolades, a smaller statured player, though, in Roquan Smith? If you were looking linebacker, would you like to see the success or the physical freak?
I love them both. Now, I'm not sitting on the fence with this. Listen, Edmonds is 19, and you hit it. This dude, you look at him, you say, really? But he's also productive. And remember who coached him? Bud Foster at Virginia Tech. And that's a good thing. But you also look at Kirby Smart and Roquan Smith inside. I think it depends on which one you think. See, I think Roquan Smith, whether it's the Raiders or the 49ers, now the Colts love him too at 6. So he may not even be sitting there at that point. Edmonds probably will be. But if Roquan Smith's there, it depends on what you want, because you get a guy who I think you're penciling. I think Roquan Smith's going to the Pro Bowl as a rookie. I think no matter what team he goes to, he's going to lead them. He's going to lead them in tackles because his instincts, and he's really smart, and he's sideline to sideline scrape guy that can run. I think he's going to end up leading his team in tackles if he goes to the Colts or one of those two teams we just mentioned. And the 49ers, obviously linebacker's got to be a priority. As good as he is on the field, Reuben Foster, a bigger question mark off it, because there is no questions if he can play. Health-wise, you want him to, but off the field, you can't risk it. I don't even know if the 49ers are going to hang on to this, depending on what the NFL does. It'd be smart to hold on to him later because of the contract and the financial situation, but you can't count on him or trust him. So you have to get one of those guys, or if there's another linebacker. But to me, it depends on what you like more. Do you want the active disruptor who rushes the passer, who can play in space, who is just 19 and 3 years from now could be as good as we have on the edge? I mean, as far as young guys go. Or do you want the guy that's going to start the second he gets to OTAs and is going to lead your team next year in tackles? I don't think you can go wrong with either one, because I think both are big-time players. One's a little more experienced and studly with that veteran leadership and is a monster. The other one's a bit raw, but, man, that's a good raw to have, man. He's one of those, that's that diamond. It's just getting ready to, it's going to start to shape itself, and he's got a chance to be special. He's just a little bit raw. I think either one of them. But you got to, if either one of them are on the board, then it comes down to what Lynch and Shanahan like more of. But I think both of them are going to be gone by the 10th or 12th pick. So if Roque's there, I wouldn't be surprised if they grabbed him.
The namesake of the Sean Salisbury Show, joining us here on 95.7 The Game. And John Gruden is leaving the draft dais to get back into the war room. How do you think Gruden looks at his first draft back as a coach?
Well, I think with now McKenzie's done a great job. I mean, and you know this up there. They've got some pretty. Think about what Khalil Mack, Derek Carr, Amari Cooper. He's done a really good job drafting. He has. Now, with John, for John, it's going to be the ability to. Now, there may be some they disagree on, and that's okay. John may love one, and all of a sudden, you know, Rich may love somebody else, and I get that too. But John's got to have that patience and be able to sit back and say, I'm the coach. I do want to discuss the groceries, but when we decide to load up the freezer, you know, they're going to put their heads together and Reggie's going to make the decision. And I trust that's the one thing. There's certain GMs you just trust. And I think Reggie hires John in the front office and the Davis family hires John because they want him as a coach. And I think John has to trust that they're going to make the right pick with his insight. So I think he'll do fine. I think, you know, I honestly, considering the run we're going to get at quarterbacks, Damon, I don't think that there's going to be those first 10 picks. Think about the football players that have Minka Fitzpatrick,
yeah.
Derwin James, Quentin Nelson. You mentioned Edmonds. You also got, you know, the corner Josh Jackson from Iowa.
Chubb.
You've got Smith there. It's going to be really hard to miss a player in the first 10 picks, especially unless it's quarterbacks are always up and down. You never know, but there's some good players. So I think John's going to do fine because he's got a front office guy that'll lead him down the right path. John's been out of it a while, but John's advantage is he's seen a lot of players over the last decade. So I think he'll be fine. John is an emotional guy. Take your emotion out and find the guy who's going to help your team get back to where they belong. And that's being healthy and making the playoffs because that Raider team shouldn't be floundering around as a below 500 or 500 team. They're too good for that.
As a player, he could spin it. As a host, he can talk it. Thanks so much, Sean, for joining us. 24 hours outside of the NFL draft. Great to tap into your knowledge. Thank you.
Can't wait till tomorrow, Damon. Thanks, brother. I appreciate you.
I'm ready to do this. I go through, like, draft cycles. I get excited about a draft, Gianna, and then the build-up to the draft, I get over it a little bit, and then I'm like, enough with the draft. I've had my full, and we haven't even eaten yet. And then it's the night, it's like draft eve, and I get all drafty.
You excited?
I'm excited for the draft tomorrow. It's going to be a good time. We invite you to come on out and join us at 95.7 The Game. Our draft spectacular. Yours truly, Joe Fortenbaugh. Greg Papa.
Bonte.
I believe Bonte is going to be out there. I heard you're going to be
lurking.
I'll
be there.
I know Albie's going to be there. I know, Elena. Somebody's, that's the price the button vixen has to pay.
Save me a pretzel.
We'll save you a pretzel and spicy mustard. We really like those schnitzel sliders as well. Sneaky good wings over at Schroeder's,
good
too.
Good food there.
Yeah.
So
if you are downtown San Francisco tomorrow, come and hang out with us for the NFL draft. It'll be covered on every available station on your television and radio.
We got it.
Your draft options go to infinity. Congratulations. Have fun drafting. It's going to be a good one. I think it's going to be a really good one. I don't know how this is going to play out, but like Sean Salisbury just said, he doesn't see any, like, that guy's got big bust written all over him coming into the top 10, unless, of course, one of these quarterbacks doesn't work out, which ain't a problem either the 49ers nor the Raiders are going to have. They ain't drafting quarterback. They will be able to take best available. Or if you're looking linebacker, if the 49ers and Raiders both went linebacker, and the first two linebackers off the board are Roquan Smith, and you're looking at Tremaine Edmonds going off the board, like two really good linebackers are coming to the Bay Area. Maybe a corner falls to you. Well, the Raiders, you know, you want to say, well, they took a corner with their first pick last year. What'd that get them? All I can tell you is that corner is one of those positions. I'm no football expert, Gianna, but I know you need two of them. You got to have two of them. Most teams, most successful teams anyways, play with two cornerbacks. So this whole, like, well, you can't draft the same position 2 years in a row. Hey, why couldn't they draft Derwin James, the safety out of Florida State? I've heard him going to Tampa Bay. I've heard Tampa Bay taking Saquon Barkley if he falls there. I've heard Tampa Bay taking Quentin Nelson if he falls there. I've heard Tampa Bay being open for business. Maybe someone wants to come on in. Hello, Miami. Hello, Buffalo. Hello, San Diego. Sorry, old habits, diehard Chargers.
They'll always be the San Diego Chargers to me.
Bradley Chubb going to the Raiders. Trading up for the Raiders? Is that going to be a reality if the Raiders aren't going to sit there at 10 but trade up into the top 10? For Bradley Chubb, if they're that high on him, is it one to pair him with Khalil Mack? Is Khalil Mack getting traded? Now, that is a topic that I don't even want to scratch the surface of. That would have to, if that is a scenario that plays out tomorrow, John Gruden is just coming in here going straight on cuckoo right from the get-go. But it's not that crazy if you're looking at signability. And what do you really need to do if you're a GM? You buy low and you sell high. Look, if you got another place to go and live anywhere in America and own a home in San Francisco, if you got an option to live somewhere else, this is what is being called a seller's market right now. I know that. I'm a buyer.
You know, yeah.
I just got skinned alive. I did not buy low and sell high. Not even close. I bought high and very much hope
it continues to grow.
Well, here's the deal. We ain't flipping this house. This is not an investment property. People in radio don't have investment properties at my level. We have homes. We hope most of us have apartments. And you know, this is the home that I will, how about this? I plan on dying in this home, right? I mean, I'd like to have this for 30, 40 years. El Stroco Loco, if I get another 40, beautiful. I'll be ready to check out about then.
Well, it's where you're going to raise your kids and your family. It's where you're at. You've planted your roots.
Is she pregnant? Do you know anything?
Not yet.
God. No, no. thank you very much. Let's hope that that is definitely the position we're operating from.
No, no.
Not yet. I got to refinance first.
No, no.
Sometimes you can't plan those things. But anyway.
The Warriors, they need to start planning for the Pelicans. That's all they need to plan on. That's all they need to worry about. The New Orleans Pelicans are coming up. The San Antonio Spurs. Hey, thanks for the memories. Thanks for waking up the Warriors defensively. You know, the Warriors did play good defense in this series. San Antonio, but for one game, didn't do anything from three-point land. LaMarcus Aldridge had a couple of nights, but that didn't turn into a couple of Spurs wins. They matched up. They did what they needed to do. They did what they needed to do without doing that much offensively, which we knew was the handicap going in. Look, I don't expect you to be who you are offensively if all of a sudden Steph Curry is not with you, but I do not expect you to fall down defensively that radically because Steph Curry's not out there. Is Steph Curry the shooter? That's not Gary Payton, the defender, that you're missing. So you should play some really good defense even without Curry. They played good defense without Curry. Hey, by the way, while we were talking to Sean Salisbury, we got a final from AT&T Park. The Nationals did not want to get swept, and they were emphatic about it. 15-2. Nationals beat the Giants today. 15-2. Bad day for Samardzija? Yes, it was. A very bad day for Samardzija. 3 2/3, 8 hits, 6 runs, all earned. He walked 3. He struck out 3. He gave up a home run. Have a day. Why don't you, Matt Adams, first baseman of the Washington Nationals. Like, forget about Bryce Harper. He was not the star or the belle of the ball today, although he did have 2 runs scored and went 1 for 3 in the game, couple walks and a strikeout for Harper. Adams today went 3 for 5 with 6 RBIs. You have 6 RBIs. You had yourself a day. He also hit his 3rd home run of the season. No home run for Brandon Belt, but he did hit a triple today. Stay hot, Brandon Belt, yeah, if you will. Brandon Belt has been actually swinging it pretty well. He's having the best April of his career. Feels like right when we make tease make fun of someone,
about him, yeah.
They got on fire. So Brandon Belt with a huge screw all of you performance over the last week or so. He's having one of the best Aprils of his entire career. He's homered in 5 of his last 7 games. Well, he can make it 5 of his last 8 after the Giants drop one today. As we said earlier, you know, I'm driving that Donskoy bandwagon.
Donskoy!
I love it. And by the way, game 1 for the Sharks will happen tomorrow.
Donskoy!
Go Sharks!
Donskoy!
Go Sharks!
Donskoy!
Go ahead and beat Las Vegas. I can't believe I got to take Tate down to Vegas now to go watch these games and sit on the glass inside his... He's going to look up and say, Dad, take me to Stratosphere. And I'm going to say, we got to go watch Logan Couture. We got to go make guys get some things done on the ice before we can go and enjoy our strip selves.
Donskoy!
Game 1, Vegas, tomorrow.
We'll have to go ahead and pay attention to the draft on our phones. We'll watch on the phones. Go Sharks!
Donskoy!
What was I saying? Oh, yeah.
Game 1.
Hottest. Okay, game 1 is good. Hottest Bay Area athlete right now, Jed Lowry. Jed Lowry bobblehead night. Jed Lowry's about to get traded. That's how hot he is. Jed Lowry, Sean Manaea, so hot they might be traded. Keep it up, Jed Lowry. And by the way, keep it up, Oakland A's. What are they going for, 8 out of 9 tonight? That's officially called a good streak. So we'll see what the A's got there coming up in just a moment with the Dugout Show. Thanks so much to Mark Spears and Sean Salisbury joining me today. We'll join you tomorrow down at Schroeder's. Come and say hi. Stop on by for the NFL Draft. Albie, Elena, thank you. Olivia and Monica helped out today. Thank you both. Gianna, as always, merci beaucoup. And thanks to all of you for tuning in. Good stuff. We are going to go drafting tomorrow. It should be a really good time. We'll have NBA playoffs to talk a little bit about, but it's big draft tomorrow. Remember, sports don't build character. They reveal it.
And like that,
that's fine.
He's gone.
Jed Lowry.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.